tuned in to the Teal Tinted Glasses Hockey Podcast.
And welcome to the Teal Tinted Glasses Hockey Podcast. We're the podcast that is still too euphoric to drive, since guess what? We're going to the Stanley Cup Finals!
Yay!
I was excited. Wow, this is sad. Okay. Yay! At least give me a yay. Yeah. Anyway, so with me, as always, is my hetero life mate, Ian Reed. How you doing, bud?
Hey, I am fantastic. Obviously, I'm fantastic. We're going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
See, that's how I want a response.
Like, today has been such a busy day. I haven't stopped, and so I'm just, you know, I'm ecstatic to be here. If I come off as being a little less excited, I'm not. It's not that I'm not excited. It's not that I'm just trying to live up to the robot name. It's that I'm really freaking tired.
So, have you gotten over your disappointment with your Kings not making it?
You know, it still burns me to this very day. Somehow I'm going to get over it, though.
I hope so.
I'm going to
try. We should by now. Okay, and also with us, about 500 miles north or south, depending on who you're talking to, as the crow flies, we have Rocket Backhander. How you doing?
We're going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Oh my God. I did not sign on for this much hockey, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Nice. So, we do have a special guest today.
Yeah.
Ian, would you like to talk about our special guest?
Yeah, so this has been a super ridiculous long time coming. For those that don't know, our guest tonight is it's going to be Tyler Spence. And for those that don't know anything about Spence, this is a guy who found my little crappy Blogspot blog, and he kind of gave me a place to write and kind of a place to be me. And I wouldn't be where I am, like, if you're reading, like, my stuff on Pucknology now or, you know, like, any of this stuff, because this predates even doing the podcast. It wouldn't have happened without this gentleman. So, hello, Tyler Spence.
Hello, guys. We're going to the Stanley Cup. I can't believe it.
I'm
so excited about it. And my Stanley Cup tickets just got delivered to my email about 2 hours ago. I will be at the first home game. Regardless of date, it'll be Monday if it's Tampa Bay. It'll be Saturday if it's Pittsburgh, and I can't wait. This is what we dream for. This is what we live for. And I don't know about you all. I know we're not content yet. Let's go win the damn thing. Darn thing.
Damn. Nice, nice. Yeah. So I guess you're kind of a grandfather of the show
in a way.
That's pretty cool. And you didn't even know it.
Whoa. That's.
Yeah. And it only took you a year and a half to get on.
It's funny because, like, it's something that we've tried to do, and we've just had, like, schedule, because Spence is a busy guy too, and it was something that we tried to get going, and then we've just had, like, a couple of, like, it was, like, done deal, he was coming on, and then something would just happen at the last minute. Either, I know there was one show where I think we ended up just having to take the week off or something, and then there's some, you know, his schedule conflicted, so it's awesome to finally have you here.
Our podcast schedules, I think, pretty much conflict with each other every week, because I usually do mine's on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, so usually one of those days you do yours, so it usually never works out. But today I was making an effort. We're going to the Stanley Cup. I'm coming on.
Outstanding. Well, we're glad to have you on, bud. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, yeah, small bit of housekeeping. I wasn't on for the last couple of weeks because I had pneumonia. Yeah, and then Ian got sick the next week, and then we had a game on one of the nights that we record, so that didn't happen. So, but we're back. We haven't quit doing the show or anything like that. We still love y'all, and hope y'all still like listening to us or something. And hope you found your way back, I guess.
Yeah, we apologize for the
because I need to be validated constantly.
Yeah,
so go on the website and donate if you don't want us to miss any more weeks. You know,
do we
that'll
even
definitely
have
mean the way
we... No, we'll figure it out, though.
We'll figure
we
it out.
We need a donate button.
Something.
We're going to get a donate button. And then you guys can... Then we won't take any more weeks off. I'm just saying. So let's start with... let's start with the good stuff. We want to talk about the series versus the Blues.
Yeah.
Let's start with our overall thoughts. Actually, you know what? Our guest, let's start with you, Tyler. What was your overall thoughts with our series against the Blues?
One thing that I think that you definitely noticed with this entire series was something that we haven't seen in years past, and I talked a little bit about my article that I wrote today, but it was just the ability to overcome adversity. You know, they fell down to the first game of the series in game one. They bounced right back, won two in a row. Game four, you know, they ended up losing home ice because they didn't show up for game four for whatever the reason. It seemed like after St. Louis got that first goal, they kind of just went flat and didn't really get their wheels back. And then they go back, get home ice back in game five. And then last night you saw it, I think, throughout the whole entire game, they just had that mentality of, you know, we're closing this out. We're not going to let that headline of Sharks choke again be printed in tomorrow's press. And, you know, I think that the mentality just is a lot different. And I know it's cliche to say, but this does seem different than a lot of the previous years. And that's what has me so excited about playing in June, is I really do believe this is finally going to be our year.
Outstanding. Rocket, what was your overall thoughts?
You know, I compared this team the other day. Actually, I compared the series the other day to, I compared it to a weed whacker versus a diesel engine on a cargo ship. You know, a weed whacker, it's got a lot of power on the front end, but the depth just isn't there. And I mean, you can bottom it out real quickly and go nowhere. Whereas, you know, with a cargo ship engine, once it finds its gears, it's really difficult to stop. And it's really difficult to find the bottom of where that power is. So I think in the series, San Jose has not hit the bottom yet. They still have gears left. There's still a lot in the tank. And I don't think St. Louis had nearly the depth.
Outstanding. Ian?
Yeah, going into the series, you know, I knew the series was going to be tough. You know, I kind of thought it was going to be, you know, I think I called it Sharks in six. So I was expecting it to be a long, you know, a longer series, maybe not a seven game series, but a longer series. And I thought that the Sharks overall, you know, they were really, really good. I thought in the first three games, the Sharks were the better team. You could argue that, you know, the only real problem with the Sharks in game one, which they lost, was that their special teams weren't there. Aside from that, I thought that they played probably better than the Blues did. And, you know, and then when you get to the later parts of the series, game four wasn't a good game for the Sharks, and no one should try and sugarcoat that. That was awful.
No.
You know, but game five, they came back and they took care of business. And I think once that goal against, with Pavelski's goal in game five, that kind of just put them ahead for good. I felt like that's when I felt it. I'm like, this is over. There's nothing that's going to stop this team from finishing off the Blues. And you know, sure enough, they did. So I think that was my big takeaway from it, was just, you know, that's kind of my overall for now, yeah. I'm so tired. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, I felt like this was a fantastic series, no matter how you slice it. You know, it was definitely two very different styles. The very, very hard hitting, you know, throw you off your game St. Louis versus the highly skilled and very deep San Jose. It was everything you could ask for in a game, in a series, and in general. And you know, as cliche hockey as it sounds, you know, this is why it's a series. It's not a game. Mm-hmm. Because there were several games that we played like El Toro Poopoo.
Yes.
But the series in general, I mean, there was no touching us. It was great. What was your highlights and lowlights? Give me one of each, if you don't mind. Let's start with you, Ian.
My highlight is something that I feel didn't get enough press by the mainstream media, and it was the way that the Sharks were able to shut down Tarasenko. Now, we, you know, locker day cleanout will find out if Tarasenko was injured or not. And I think he might, you know, despite what
I hope so.
Ken Hitchcock said, I think that was probably something that that I'm curious to find out about. But I feel like Mark Edward Vlasic just didn't get enough credit for that. You know, a lot of people, mm-hmm. It was like, oh, you know, it was just like, you know, lazy Russian not showing up rather than, you know, maybe it's just the fact that, like, every series we played, the Stars, their big guns were shut down. Tyler Toffoli was shut down in the first round. Philip Forsberg was shut down in the second round. And then Tarasenko this round. So I think that, you know, Mark Edward Vlasic's probably not getting enough credit for that in the playoffs. So that's my highlight. My low light, I think it's just it's probably the bottom pair of the defense. I think that the idea of... it's not that I don't like it. They have their moments, but at the same time, like, the idea of Dylan and Braun being stuck on the ice and then having, like, you know, Kessel's line out there if it's Pittsburgh, or Druin's line out there if it's, or the triplets if it's the Tampa Bay.
Oh, jeez,
it terrifies me. Like, that's the stuff of nightmares right there. So, I thought they got really exposed this series.
Outstanding, Tyler.
I think the highlights for me would just be the way that everyone paid from top to bottom. I mean, we got contributions from, you know, really every line between, you know, of course, the top line of Thornton, Pavelski, and Hurdle. It was fantastic. But, you know, the Couture line, the Tierney line, the, you know, we got Joel Ward had a great series too. You know, it really just went to show how deep this team is, that we already knew that. As far as the lowlights, I mean, there's really, it's kind of hard to come up with any after a six-game series. I guess I'd have to agree with Ian. The one thing that would worry me is, like he was saying, if we're playing a team like Pittsburgh or Tampa Bay, they might have a little bit more depth than St. Louis did as far as healthier shooters. And then Tampa Bay has Stamkos back too. So I guess that bottom defense pair would be a little bit frightening as well. But I think overall we'll be fine.
Well, let me kind of piggyback on yours, what you're talking about with Stamkos. Now, Stamkos is one of the greatest players of his generation, arguably. I love to watch the guy play, but you notice the team does not play as well when Stamkos is around. They're a better team without Stamkos, even though Stamkos is the most talented person out there. So that's kind of a weird dichotomy with Stamkos. I don't know if that they're relying too much on him, or
I think what the deal is. I think some people could actually make the argument too that with St. Louis trading TJ Oshie, that might have been better for them. Kind of the same kind of idea you have with Stamkos, as far as, you know, they traded TJ Oshie and he was the best player on the ice, but it seemed like they were a better team now without him and was able to have other guys shine this year. So,
Rocket, what's your highlights and lowlights?
My highlight of the series is going to be, I just had this. Okay, so I'm going to go to my lowlight then and try to remember my highlight. My lowlight is just, it's a power play unit. Special teams, actually no, penalties to the PK was all right, but power play unit, just, they were back to their, like, oh, it's another power play that we're going to kill off. You know, that's it. And I think probably my highlight, achieving 100 postseason games, I think that's actually pretty cool. And constantly watching Twitter on, like, NHL player relations and stuff, and seeing them post all of the leaderboards for the postseason and seeing at least 3 San Jose Sharks players in every single one of those lists.
Yeah, just to touch on the power play there for a second. The power play, like, it's a great point that Rock brings up, because when it was on, it was fine. Like, if you looked at the games we won and the games we lost, the power play was atrocious, and so
dismal.
Yeah, and I feel like it's good. I mean, you want a good power play, and you don't want to be, like, angry when, you know, your power play is good to win, but it can't just be, you know, we saw a lot of whistles being swallowed that last series, and it's just going to get worse. So you can't rely on your power play to get you out of a jam, as, you know, in the finals. Go ahead.
Outstanding. What was everybody's thoughts with JR actually complimenting the heck out of the Sharks for a change at the end of all this? And I love Patty Marleau and all that stuff. Did anybody else flip out on that as much as I did?
He's got a new dealer, or they changed his dosage level got changed.
They changed his meds.
That's all.
They changed his meds.
I think here's something that's, you know, Jeremy Roenick went on Twitter, and he kind of went off on Greg Wyshynski, and I can't remember the gentleman from the Blues.
The
Blues broadcaster or something, and he kind of went off on those. So I think, like, he had to kind of be on his best behavior. I'm not gonna lie, anytime I have the option, I will take the CBC stream over NBCSN every day and twice on Sunday. So I didn't see it.
Lucky you. Okay, so let's move on. So what was the most interesting storyline you found as far as the series goes? For me, it was, wow, we have 4 lines and they can all contribute and all just completely rock. That's the best storyline ever. This is War and Peace to me. It was That was the best thing I think we could see coming out of this series. We have four lines.
Yeah.
It was something we've been harping on all season, and it's wonderful when you actually see it in practice. Rocky, let's start with you. What's your was there any storyline you really liked with the series?
They don't get gassed. I think maybe once this season, I remember that I had said on a road trip that I could tell before the game started it was going to be rough because Brent Burns sounded tired. And they played really tired, and I think they lost. I can't remember where it was, but it was a road game. They haven't gotten anywhere near that shape again. Like, they just keep going. They're the Energizer bunnies and little shark fins. So that's really the interesting thing I found.
Outstanding. Mr. Spence?
I think the ability for them to continue to win on the road. You know, I know the Nashville series, they didn't get any road games, but they won at the Scott Trade Center twice in St. Louis and won on the road in the Western Conference Finals. So
that's a tough...
What's that?
Tough arena.
Yeah, it's a very tough place to play. And I think
that's a tough arena, too.
The fourth time that they played in the arena going to the regular season, that's the fifth time they played there. And they won 4 out of 5, I believe. And, you know, that gives me a lot of confidence that if it is Pittsburgh, which, you know, we're looking at right now, 10 minutes left in the third period right now, Pittsburgh's got a 2-1 lead. I'm confident with the Sharks being able to go in and win 1 out of 4. And honestly, I believe you come back to the tank, that tank is going to be so loud. I don't see anybody, Tampa Bay or Pittsburgh, being able to get a win in there. So I'm really confident in the ability to win on the road.
Good call. Ian?
My storyline that I enjoyed the most, I think of just the entire playoffs in general, has been goaltending. I mean, it's just everywhere you look. Like, obviously, like, you know, you look at Tampa Bay, obviously their goaltending change was prompted by injury, so it's not as interesting. But when you look at what happened with Pittsburgh, you know, it kind of was the same thing that happened with St. Louis, where you had Brian Elliott, who I thought played a really good series overall, and I don't really feel like, I feel like he's going to take a lot more blame than he probably should. And I probably don't go to Jake Allen, but that's, you know, that's me. And maybe they don't, and maybe they don't get that, you know, that big win that they got in game 4. But, you know, so it's been kind of interesting watching, like, the deck get shuffled in goal. And even in San Jose, you know, like, we saw Reimer at the end of game 4, and, you know, some people, I mean, I never doubted it for a second. I tweeted pretty emphatically that Jones was going to be the starter in game 5, but there's still, you know, that kind of mystery of ooh, are they going to, you know, are they going to go with Reimer, or, you know, to match this Jake Allen thing? And I found that just really, really interesting how the goaltending has been handled in the conference finals in both conferences, to be completely honest.
Yeah, just to piggyback on that, social media cracks me up, and that's all I got to say about that. Just when you talk about the goalies, and, yeah. Okay, let's move on, because we're going to lose a lot of listeners. So what happens next for the Blues? We know they're in cap hit hell after this, by all word out, Backes is gone after this season.
Gone, yeah.
I don't know who else is gone, but they got to make some room.
Roy Brower's a
they have a lot
too,
of
believe,
free agents coming up. Yes, he is. So what happens next for the Blues? Ian, you want to start us out, bud?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts at the top. You know, what happens to Ken Hitchcock now? Ken Hitchcock last year kind of got the vote of confidence, and he only got a 1-year deal, though. So, I mean, he could opt to not come back either. He could just be like, no, I'm done with this. So I think that's, you know, that's the big question first, is Ken Hitchcock back? And I think once we know that, we can kind of know what else is going to happen. They do definitely have some things that they need to sign. David Backes is up, and I don't know if he comes back at that price. Troy Brower, you know, Spence just mentioned him. He's only $3.66666 million dollars right now. He played a heck of a playoffs, man. He's probably looking for a pretty significant payday. Probably, I wouldn't be shocked to see him
and
get
$5 or $6 million.
I don't know if I'd give him, you know, I don't know if I'd be really leery getting up into the six range for a 30-year-old, but
he's at a five.
He's a guy. And then you've got Steve Ott, who's, you know, who's only surprisingly 33. You'd think he's so much older than 33, but. Yeah, you know,
those are hard miles. Those are hard miles.
Well, he's already at what, 3.8?
Yeah. No, 2.6.
And that's got to cost. 2.6. He's going to want to go 3.8 probably.
There's some guys, you know, that they have to make a decision on. I mean, they also have other guys like, you know, Tarasenko signed into Infinity. Stastny's there, still there. You know, Alexander Steen's going to need a new deal soon. So, as far as I don't know. I don't know because until we know what's going to happen with Hitchcock, because I think you build a team around, like, you know, you build a team that's kind of complements your coach. So it'll be interesting to see if Hitchcock comes back, how much changes get made, because last year they kind of gave Hitchcock the vote of confidence and moved Oshie. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this year.
Okay, well, let's, before we go on, do they keep Hitchcock or not? Your opinion, yes or no?
You know what? I think my opinion is Hitchcock's a decent coach, but from talking to some Blues people over the playoffs, he's not really well-liked. And I know that it's easy to give into, like, the fan lynch mob, and maybe if San Jose gives into the fan lynch mob last year, maybe we're not where we are today. So it's a very scary thing to do. I feel like they still beat Chicago. They beat Dallas, you know, and they lost a long series to the Sharks. It was a 6-game series. They did show some push. Mm-hmm. It'd be really hard to fire a guy for, you know, after a 6-game third-round series, but stranger things have happened. I don't know if Hitchcock has just finally worn out his welcome there. You know, earlier on, the big storyline was Tarasenko's minutes and how he wasn't playing Tarasenko enough, so I know you want, like, a real definitive answer. I really don't
know.
Man,
you're flip-flopping, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I would need more time to think on it. At a glance, I would say, yeah, you probably bring him back, maybe not for long-term, but if he wants term, I think you go somewhere else.
Okay, Tyler, let's see if you can be a man and answer the question with a yes or no.
If it was me, I would say Hitchcock is gone, and here's why. I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier in the podcast about the goaltending switch. When they went from Brian Elliott to Jake Allen in Game 4, I understand that they won the game. But here's why it never made sense to me. Martin Jones, and a lot of credit to our defense, I didn't get enough credit, I thought. As much great as Martin Jones played, I thought the defense needed more credit too. They played fantastic. They were not giving St. Louis room to breathe or get it open looks. Brian Elliott was not the issue. The offense for St. Louis was big time issue. They weren't getting pucks on the net, and it didn't really make a lot of sense to me to go and change to Jake Allen to Brian Elliott. That shows me that really Hitchcock was, it seemed like he might have been given into the media and given into the fans of what they wanted. And I like Ian said, I think he's a good coach. I don't think he has, I don't know, I just don't see him being a really good fit there with the kind of personnel that they have there anymore. I think that they need maybe a different guy in there to do a little bit different a job with, you know, Tarasenko, some of the other guys that they have. So I think it'll be a big important part, like Ian said, about what happens in free agency. But right now, 24 hours after we defeated them, I think Hitchcock is gone.
Nice. So we were having this. I remember having the same conversation last year at this time, exact same thing. I think it's gonna. It's the same as a T-Mac situation. I think they'd want somebody like a PDB. Who is literally, the playoffs aren't enough, you're going to go or you're not going to go, period. That's the kind of coach they want. I don't know who's out there that can give them
that,
though.
That's the other problem.
Yep. Very true.
Yeah, I don't know who's out there.
They tried interviewing Roy Sommer.
There's not a whole lot of... Oh! They can have him.
You can't do that because then that would take away my argument against Roy Sommer, that he's never up for an NHL job.
He never goes.
Oh, Lordy. Okay, let's move on. Was there a goal in your series that, in your opinion, was bigger than the Jamie Baker goal? Or is the Jamie Baker goal the biggest goal in Sharks history, old-time hockey, or true fans? sorry. That's a... Stop living in yesterday. Yeah, I don't know how else I could ask this, but so do you think there was a goal that's as big? I think that some of these goals were more important. I'd say that Pav's first goal of the last series was one of the most beautiful goals I've ever seen in my life.
I think when you look at, like, importance to the franchise, like, whenever anyone asks, you know, what was the biggest goal in franchise history, I mean, it's, to me, it's still the Baker goal. You know, and look at there was yeah. there was a lot of goals scored in this game against St. Louis, but the Sharks led that game the whole way.
The whole
right.
time.
And so that's and that's the difference between you know, the goal scored there and the Baker goal, in my opinion. Because the Baker goal, for those that are too young to remember, you know, this was game seven. This was a, you know, I think it was a 2-2 or a 3-3 tie at this point. And then Baker's goal basically broke the tie and gave the Sharks the series. Whereas, you know, the none of the goals in game six, as big as the game six and as big as moving on to the Stanley Cup Finals is, they just didn't have that... that catalyst that the Baker goal had.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, like, I think, you know, like I said earlier, that Pavelski goal in game four, or game five, sorry, I think that might be, you might yeah. call that the second biggest goal, because I really think that, you know, that was the goal that, that really put the Sharks over and really changed the, you know, the momentum where
the momentum
kind of stole it. But nothing that happened in game six really was that, I don't know, I just... The Sharks never. I don't. That game was never in doubt to me.
I gotta say this. I watched the Jamie Baker goal when it happened, but I had tears coming out of my eyes when I saw the empty net Logan Couture goal.
Sure.
I mean, so you know, is it, you know, it's potato potato. Was it as important? Probably not. But I'm gonna remember that goal for the rest of my life, because I've never cried for a goal coming through like that. I felt like a little girl. It was sad. What about you, Tyler?
Well, the one that actually, I agree with you, and I think that the Jamie Baker goal is one that's always going to stand there. It's going to be hard to top. But the one that kind of does stick out to me a little bit, even though we were playing with the lead, was when we were trying to close it out. When we were tied. It was 3-3 it was 4-3 in the third period, and San Jose was playing with the lead, and St. Louis had an empty net, and Chris Tierney got the puck and put it in the net and to put the game away 5-3. And I know Ian said when Pavelski scored the goal to go up 4-3, that's when he knew the series was over and that we were going to win. When Tierney put it in the net and it went up 5-3, and that basically ended the game, that's when I knew, okay, that was the moment for me.
Yeah.
That's when I knew this series was going to be San Jose Sharks.
But part of what we're looking at, though, is, you know, is it that legend maker and that Tierney goal... Mm. That doesn't make Tierney the legend.
No. That was just a defining moment. I don't think you can say it's bigger than Baker goal. No.
Yeah, like there's nothing that happened so far, and maybe a Stanley Cup winning goal would change this, and I think it would. But if you ask me, like, in 5 years, what's the biggest, you know, not being in the moment, and you say,
oh, you're gonna remember the Baker goal.
Yeah,
sure.
I still think my go-to is in 5 years, you know, without, if everything stays the way it is, then the Baker goal to me is still the big goal. And I think that's the way I look at it. I try to look at it like, yes, it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, this goal now because it's in the moment and we just, you know, we're in the high of it, everything still. But if you ask me in 5 years when that high goes away, I still, you know, if nothing changes, then it's the Baker goal for sure.
Well, there's two instances that happened this season that, to me, I'm going to probably take to my grave, and that is the Couture empty netter, just the emotional release on it, and the John Scott MVP moment from the All-Star game. Those two moments will stick with me probably forever from this season. So, is it the Jamie Baker goal? No. But, you know, as I say, for right now, it's just really hard not to get over the emotion of it all. Rocket, what about you? I know you didn't watch I know you didn't get to see the Jamie Baker goal unless you watched on replays.
What's your thoughts on it on YouTube? I think that the Jamie Baker goal will be the Sharks' version of the Miracle on Ice. That no matter what else happens, that will always be a pivotal moment in the history of the franchise. I don't think that more important is an applicable term for that goal. I don't think you'll ever be able to match it. I think there will be things that will be great and outstanding in their own way, but that's just a moment.
Yeah, I'm not, when I kind of worded this question, I didn't want to make it sound like, you know, hey, are we going to stop talking about, you know, the Baker goal is always going to be a huge goal in Sharks history. I just think that if you have a goal like, you know, in a similar situation where you're tied and then you have a guy who basically puts the puck in to win the Sharks' first Stanley Cup, that goal would be in the conversation as well.
Nice. Okay, let's move on. We have one of my favorite segments because I get to make the music for it. We have the three stars of the week.
Teal Tinted Glasses presents our three stars of the week.
Okay, we have our three stars of the week. Because he is our guest, I'm going to let Tyler Spence give us his version of the three stars of the series. sorry, I didn't change that in the music, and I'm not going to.
Do you want me to do it like we do in San Jose? The third star of tonight's game.
You can do it however you want.
All right.
However you feel comfortable doing, you are welcome to.
Well, I'd say the third star of this series goes to number 39, Logan Couture. The second star of this series goes to number 8. Sorry. Number 19, Joe Pavelski. And the first star goes to number 8, 19 Joe Pavelski. And I think that, I don't know if I did a good impersonation of the PA announcer, but I think you can also make a case in for some other guys, and I'm sure we'll hear their names. But, yeah, I mean, Couture, Pavelski, and then Thornton be able to get the pucks to those guys, or the pucks to Pavelski and Couture doing what he did the whole series. I don't really think you can argue that either.
Nice. Okay, Rocket, what are your three stars in backwards order?
Oh, jeez. Okay, since I'm all backwards and stuff, my first star is going to be none other than Ian's dark horse pick out of camp, Jonas Donskoy, who, man,
donkey!
I can't believe he's so young. You know, he doesn't play like a young kid. Second star is going to be, because fun must be always, Mr. Tomáš Hertl, who was solid and beautiful, and every time he went out on the ice, he did something better than he did the last time. It was just a great thing to watch. And my third pick, which is always my fun pick, is going to be MacGyver himself, Mr. Richard Dean Anderson, who is on hand at Game 7 to fix Sharky's drum after he beat it to death.
Outstanding. Did he make a blow up with a bobby pin, a stuffed animal, and 3 liters of Diet Coke?
Duct tape,
too. You got to have chewing the duct tape gum in there. Okay. I will give my three. Starting with my, and I'm trying to do different ones than everybody else, so that's why some of these seem a little off. But my number three star is going to go to one goalie we have named Mr. Ooh. Jones. Because, yeah, that one guy, you know, I think he's kind of kept us in it a little bit. My number two star of the week is Patrick Marleau, although he may have not been on the board as much as I would have liked him to be. He's still playing a very, very key role, and he's taken to his new position very well as a role player instead of being the guy. And my number one is going to be to one Mr. Joel Ward, who is clutch. If we hadn't gotten him, I think that the Capitals would have gone a lot farther in the playoffs this year. Ian.
Yeah, good call on Joel Ward. I remember when we signed Joel Ward, you know, all my memories of Joel Ward just seem to be big goals in the playoffs, and, you know, he's definitely fit that bill. My three stars, my third star of the week is going to be Chris Tierney, who, in my opinion, has been really good on that third line center position. You know, he had 3 points over the series. My second star is going to be Joe Thornton. You know, again, 7 assists in 6 games, and just, you know, him and Marleau have been through so much, like, just from the fans, from the media, and, you know, so it's really awesome to see what he did and what the way Thornton's been able to play at his age. It's just, it's amazing. He's definitely
absolutely
this no-show Joe BS needs to just go away forever. And my first star of the week has to be Joe Pavelski. I mean, Joe Pavelski was just huge this series. When the Sharks needed goals, Joe Pavelski was there. And, you know, he's the leader, he's the captain. And as much stock as I don't really put in the C at this point in the NHL, it's still nice to see the guy wearing it come up big when we needed to. And 4 goals and 5 assists over the series, it's hard to pick anyone else for the first star.
Didn't he tie with Wayne Gretzky for up to this point.
Yeah, goals in
as far as goals first, in a playoff series.
Something. Goals or points in the first three rounds. I remember that stat yesterday. I don't have it in front of me.
And I believe he's 5 goals away from being the highest ever, as far as goals go.
I have 19 no idea. Goals, I'd have to I believe, look was the that highest. Up. I don't have that in front of me, so I don't want to say for sure.
I thought that was in your database, sorry, there, I know, robot. I apologize. Your RAM is definitely
it's overloaded. Exuded.
It is.
Okay.
Okay. So going in here, let's assume that Pittsburgh has won. Do you like the matchup? Would you have rather had the Lightning?
You know, I said here's some more flippy floppy answers with Ian. These guys are the same team. Like there's not very much that's different about these teams. I don't think that there's really no point. You could say, okay, how about how about Tampa? Well, Tampa is decently deep. They've got Victor Hedman, who's been just out of their mind and would just make the top line of the Sharks absolutely miserable. You have Stamkos playing tonight. You never don't want to, you don't want to see him get his legs back. And you got the triplets. I mean, Tampa Bay's a good team, but so is Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's got some huge stars as well. You know, maybe some more bigger name stars, but very, very offensive. Pittsburgh has been out shooting the Lightning all series. So that obviously scares me a little bit because the Sharks have, relied. But I find in the East, in the Eastern Conference compared to the West Conference, I think that there's definitely things on both these teams that the Sharks can exploit. So I don't really know. I didn't have a preference. I would be happy to play either or. Hell, it's the Stanley Cup Final, man. There's no easy draw at this
point. We'll play them both.
No, dress all 40 of them, as Joe Thornton said. That was kind of nice, actually. What about you, Mr. Spence?
I'm fine with either team. I think that San Jose is able to match up and exploit some stuff with both these teams. The only reason I wanted to play Tampa Bay is because I'm anxious. I have tickets to the first home game, and the first home game would have been Monday. Looks like I'll have to wait another, extra 4 or 5 days to go to my first Stanley Cup game, but it'll be worth the wait.
Rocket, what about you?
Yeah, I'm with Joe on this one, man. Dress them all. Come on, bring it. I don't care. All. It's all the same.
I don't think we want to make an all-star team between the Penguins and Lightning. I don't think that.
Yeah, let's not do that. That does not end well with the Sharks. I don't care.
Stamkos the puck. What could possibly go wrong?
I don't care.
Yeah, that's not. I don't like that. Yeah, well, we do. I mean, I've never made a big secret about it.
And now it's
because
over.
Of family. Yeah, it's over. Because of family, I definitely was rooting for Tampa Bay. Good job, Tampa Bay. Well played.
Yeah, game 7.
Nothing to be ashamed of by any means. I'm pretty proud of how they did. Now we get a look at, Sharks do eat Penguins, so that's a good thing. I don't like that we're starting out away. I would prefer to start out at home, because with this team can be so neurotic with either they got a home advantage or a road advantage, and you don't know what you're going to get that week. That bothers me. I prefer to start at home because I feel like they just start better at home.
Yeah. I think that we know what the opponent is, probably should break this down a little bit better. I think, big key for the Sharks is obviously they need to take a game in Pittsburgh. Just like in the St. Louis series, they cannot go down 0-2 to start the series.
2-0.
I don't want to see that. And the other thing is with the other thing I do like about playing the Penguins, though, and I don't think we will see him, but if they can get to Murray and make them flip back to Fleury again, Fleury does not scare me.
Oh, then we're in
Whereas,
heaven.
Whereas, the combination of Bishop Murray and Vasilevsky, I don't want to see... I don't want to see either of those guys in the net, right? Like, there's no preference... with those guys.
There's no win.
They're both really, really good. Whereas if you put Fleury in the net, I'm not scared. So, I hope the Sharks can get to Murray. I think that the Sharks are going to line up against this team well. I think that they can get to Matt Murray. Brian Elliott was the best goalie in the playoffs, and they got to him. So they have no doubt in my mind that they can get to Matt Murray. I feel like the I don't know. I like the Sharks' chance. And I know I picked Pittsburgh at the start to win it all, and I this is going to go back to like when I picked the Kings. I will never have been so happy to be so wrong in my entire life.
And we'll never let you live it down, because we just don't do that. Okay. So, the only thing, the thing that I'm looking at as far as matchups go, Pittsburgh definitely has three very strong lines. The plus side, we have four very strong lines. I'm hoping that's the difference maker. And then just getting Crosby and Malkin off their game, which they've been so hot and cold, you don't know what you're going to get with those two either. I'm hoping the hatred between each other just swells. Just a hope, guess, whatever. Do we have anything else we want to talk to about this?
You know, I think because like we've done with every other team, we should probably, you know, what do we think happens with the Lightning next? And I think it's the obvious is what happens with Stamkos.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Stamkos is here or gone based on what happens. I mean, there's a good chance Stamkos is gone. I think that's obvious. But I think my bigger question than Stamkos becomes what happens with Ben Bishop? Because as much as I like Ben Bishop, this is the third playoff in a row where he's been injured, and it's
That's okay. I thought it was...
No, because he was... Okay. I'm trying to think here. Because he got injured last year in the Chicago series. He got injured this thing. And then they didn't have them the year before when they played Montreal. I believe that was the year before that. So,
But he's so freaking
good
when he's on.
He's so
good
when he's healthy. But the fact is that he's been... You know, he hasn't been able to remain healthy. And so I, you know, with when you see a guy like Vasilevskiy, who I think played very admirably against this Penguins team, that to me is going forward, because I think he has a couple of years left on his deal, is what happens with him more than Stamkos at this point. Other than that, I think, you know, they're going to have to sign some people. So they're going to have to, you know, if Stamkos goes, I think it just makes their life easier, because it's going to make it a lot easier to re-sign some guys. But that Bishop contract, I think, is going to be the really interesting one going forward.
Well, how about the elephant in the room with, Stevie Y's ego getting hurt with Drouin? Do they do anything about that? Do they keep him? Do they trade him?
I think after...
I mean, he was a maniac.
I think after
he
this...
He played so great.
Yeah, after this playoff, I mean, how do you not keep Drouin? Winning fixes everything.
I don't know how big Stevie Y's ego is, you know? I mean, I know his predecessors...
Yeah, look, but here's
kind
the
of,
thing.
Petty on things.
Steve Yzerman's a smart hockey guy, and especially if you lose Stamkos, how do you lose Drouin in the same summer, especially after what he did in these playoffs?
Yeah. You think there's any chance that Stamkos stays?
Yeah, I think it could happen. I mean, you know, everyone talks like, I don't know who could afford Stamkos. Maybe the Rangers might afford Stamkos if they can move some contracts, and I know they would be...
Toronto.
They'd be in. Obviously, Toronto's the big one, but now with everything that's gone on in Toronto, I don't know if Toronto needs Steven Stamkos, to be completely honest. A big deal for Stamkos was that, for his unhappiness in Tampa Bay, was that he wasn't playing center. You're going to draft Austin Matthews. You already have Nazem Kadri. You still have Bozak. Like, I don't know. You know, I would rather, if I'm Babcock, then I want, you know, I want Austin Matthews feeding Stamkos and maybe, you know, Mitch Marner the puck, or Alexander Nylander the puck. Like,
good point.
I don't know if they need him. And by the time that, you know, the Leafs, it's not like the Leafs are going to be magically better next year, right? Like, next year should be the start of their climb back to respectability. But they're not going to be just better next year. And by the time that they are better, you know, Stamkos could be 33. Like, you're going to be paying Stamkos big money still, because he's going to want a big...
On a rebuild.
Right. Yeah. And he's going to demand like a bajillion dollars for term. And by the time that you actually, you know, by the time you actually are paying him that, is it going to be the wisest choice? Is he still going to be the Stamkos today? Is he going to help them that much? So I think... You know, it's a big choice for Toronto, and I understand the appeal of, you know, I mean, look at, I'm not dissing Steven Stamkos. Steven Stamkos is top three pure scorers in this league, next to only Ovechkin. Like, it's that simple.
Nice. You got anything to add to this, Mr. Spence? Watching the game
while we're on the topic of the game, they had the empty net goal, and then they I missed it, and then I guess they called it back or something. What happened there? Did anyone catch that?
Someone grab Stamkos.
No, I haven't got it. I'm
something. Grab. I bought.
No, but I think I don't know. I think. And do you think that Stamkos is going to be? Do you think Stamkos is going to be on the way out? Because I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier about the TJ Oshie situation in St. Louis. And that's kind of what I compare it to. It might be two different scenarios, but they got rid of Oshie. They were a better team. Stamkos, just like, you know, like Wendell said, they play better without him. They played better, in my opinion, throughout the whole series when Stamkos was injured. He's a fantastic player, but it's just one of those issues. So I think that's something that they definitely can look at. But like you said, there's got to be a team that's got to trade for him, and I don't know. Do you guys
he's
see
a free
anybody?
Agent, so it's his choice.
I mean, oh, it is. He is a free agent this year. Okay, I forgot if he's free agent 2016.
They get nothing for him.
Where would you see him fit in?
I don't see. It's because of the money. It's hard.
That has the cap hit. Nobody.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, he's expensive.
Exactly.
I mean, someone will make room for him.
Chicago's
but
all tapped out.
There's no. I don't see an obvious team. Like, someone will make room for him for sure. Like, it's Steven Stamkos. Someone will make room for him if he doesn't go back to Tampa. But there's no. I don't feel like there's an obvious, like, this is where Stamkos should go, you know. The cap's perfect. Because of his cap hit, someone has to move some dollars around to fit him in.
Right. He's going to go to L.A.
Okay, well, let's
move. Oh, no.
There, you...
Oh, shut up. Shut up!
Fired.
Just saying.
You just pissed off everybody here. Well, this is Rocket's last show with Teal Tinted Glasses. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I have to go with the Into His Kings podcast. What?
I'm missing the inside.
Okay,
of
let's move on.
On the Kings podcast or something. I'm not getting that.
No, it's because I picked the Kings to win in the first round, so
gotcha.
They're my favorite team, and they will continue to bust my chops about it until I hope the end of the season.
Forever and ever.
Until the end of the season.
Or forever and ever and ever.
Until we win a cup. How's that? Okay, speaking of cups, let's talk about the Memorial Cup. Ian, you want to give us a little recap on all this? I know there's a buttload of information for us.
Yeah, I'll try and keep it short and sweet. So the Memorial Cup is going on. You can often catch some of the replays on NHL Network. I know they don't generally have them on live, which is really annoying. There's two Sharks prospects playing in the Memorial Cup. There is our top prospect, Timo Meier, who is playing for the Rouyn-Noranda Huskies. And then there is Adam Haluka, who was a fourth-round pick in our last draft, who is playing for the Red Deer Rebels. Basically, they went through the round robin, and the London Knights and Brandon Wheat Kings were also in this tournament. The London Knights are stacked. They have guys that are, you know, top prospects already, and then they have, like, at least a couple of guys, a minimum a couple of guys that are going to go in the first round, maybe upwards of three or four this year. So there's that. So London's kind of cruised through everybody. So I'll just kind of keep it Sharks related. Timo Meier has been everything that he is advertised to be. This guy is a guy who will go out there. He can play the body. He can score goals. He has 5 goals in 3 games so far in the tournament. Big goals, big scorer, and he's been just fantastic this whole tournament. There is, after watching this tournament and just kind of going through everything now, I feel like there is a very, very, very good chance that we will see Timo Meier suiting up in a Sharks jersey next year rather than a Barracuda jersey. So,
God, I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is going to be great. I want to preface it by saying, like, you know, he's not... Is he going to come and, like, you know, destroy all the scoring records and stuff? No, I'm not so sure about that. Sharks fans, what you're going to like about this guy is his complete game. It's the way he has the physical edge to his game, the fact that he's not afraid to go bang bodies, he's not afraid to get in dirty areas, and he has a scoring touch. So I could see him absolutely fitting into the middle six next year. So Adam Haluka is another draft pick. Now, I'm not sure if he's Shark bound next year, but I think he's absolutely Barracuda bound for sure. He has 3 goals in 3 games. He had a couple of really big goals against the Huskies, where he actually was it was a really great game, probably one of my favorite games of the tournament so far. So going forward, basically, the round robin is over, so now the semifinal is set, and it's going to be Rouyn-Noranda versus Red Deer to see who is going to go and play the London Knights in the finals. So it's shark-on-shark violence, unfortunately. This happens tomorrow.
It happens in real life.
I think this is going to be a great game. I won't be able to watch this live, and it breaks my little heart. But if you have any way to watch this, even on delay, you definitely want to check this out. You know, and I don't think any less of neither of these prospects. If, you know, whoever gets eliminated tomorrow, it's going to be fine. I don't look bad down upon them at all. So definitely it's been an exciting tournament to watch, and I'm just, you know, I'll keep you informed on Pucknology all about it. Another prospecting news of the day, everyone knows that Dylan Sadoway is a big guy that I was really, really high on. I know I had some tweets today being like, yep, hey, better check on how I read Pucknology, you know, make sure he's still breathing. But so he was traded today. The Sharks hadn't signed him, and his rights were traded to the Detroit Red Wings, who did sign him to an entry-level contract today, giving me the sads. Look, this is a guy that I really was really, really high on. I kind of wrote about some Pucknology too. I'm disappointed. I'm not angry. I'm not going to grab a pitchfork and go for Doug Wilson. I'm disappointed. We don't know. You never know what it's going to turn into when they make the jump to pro. And the Sharks have a lot of, you know, Sadoway-like players in the system, so it's not like he was one of a kind. And I hope I didn't oversell it and make him sound like, you know, he was our best prospect. He's a very good prospect, but if I oversold it, I apologize.
No, maybe you did, but you oversold it to Detroit, so it actually worked out for San Jose.
Yeah, coming back to San Jose for Sadoway is a third-round pick in the 2017 draft. So these are one of the picks that we've given up over the time, and I did say that, you know, Doug Wilson had plenty of time to recap those picks, but it is what it is.
Didn't think it was going to be like that, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be like that. Look, if you're looking for, you know, like I said in my article today, obviously the ceiling for Timo Meier is a lot higher, but there's a lot of things in Timo Meier's game that do remind me of Sadoway's game. So disappointing, but it's not the end of the world. Put your pitchforks away. I wish Dylan Sadoway all the luck in Detroit, where I think he has a much better chance of having a much cleaner path to the pros.
Outstanding. Okay, well, that kind of wraps up our prospect report, and since we don't talk about the Barracuda no more.
The Barracuda.
Yeah, I'm sad. Everyone wanted to say it. I just wanted to give everyone the opportunity to. Okay, let's move on to our final segment, traditionally, of the evening. We have Rapid Fire.
Lock and load. It's time for Rapid Fire.
Okay, here we come. We have Rapid Fire. Now, Rapid Fire, to all of our new awesome bandwagoners that just jumped on or listening to the show, welcome. I love you. We have nothing bad to say about you, unlike some Sharks groups. Not saying no names. Anyway, this is when we get to go and talk about basically all around the league. We don't really cover the Sharks too much, but we cover everything that goes on in the league that should be of interest to you, because it's of interest to us. Because we're that important. Okay, our first item of business, the Senators. Chris Phillips announces retirement. Phillips, who was drafted first overall by the Senators in 1996, announced his retirement Thursday. He had 288 points in over 1,179 career regular season games. He missed last season due to some back issues. Hats off to anybody that stays with the team for that long.
His whole career with the same team. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
You know, anyone who plays...
What do you got to say about it, Ian?
Anyone who plays, you know... Look, my hat is always off to anyone who plays one game in the NHL, let alone, you know, over 1,000 games in the NHL. It doesn't matter. You know, you don't have to be a Ovechkin to play 1,000 games in the NHL. But I think that some people, when you look at like some of like the bottom rung players in the NHL, like these guys are still like, those jobs are still so hard to come by. And anyone who can rack up 1,000 NHL games, I mean, obviously, I think
you're a stud.
Yeah, you're a stud, and you deserve a mention on the show when you retire. So, Chris Phillips, have a good one.
You're a stud, Chris.
I hope someone says I'm a stud when I retire from this show. That'd be awesome.
I'm a stud right
now. Not that I'm retiring anytime soon.
Hey.
Well, I'm always a stud, but that has nothing to do with it. Yeah, you should. Oh man, what I was gonna say.
Family
I can't
show.
Say.
I love drywall.
Family show. Okay, next up, the Canucks trade Jerry McCann a second, thirty-third overall pick, and a fourth to the Panthers for Eric
Goodbranson.
And a fifth round pick all picks in this year's draft. Wow, that's a lot of moving around.
I like Goody.
What are the Canucks doing? Are they trying to make a play? Are they rebuilding? What are they doing?
Okay, here's the thing. I mean, first off, I think it's very nice that Vancouver is doing everything that they can to get the Oilers out of the basement of the division.
Ooh.
Kind of
how nice of them.
How nice. Wow. Jared McCann was their first-round pick in 2013, I believe. The same year we picked Goldobin. Or maybe it was 2014. I don't know. It was a pick. Anyway, he was a first-round pick. It was the year we picked Goldobin. This is actually a guy who I was hoping the Sharks would draft instead of Goldobin, but that's neither here nor there. I really like Jared McCann, and Jared McCann kind of came into the year, and he made the team out of camp, and then injuries kind of prevented him from being taken out of the lineup. Now, this was a situation where, kind of like we had with Mirko Mueller, where, you know, it's the NHL club where it's back to junior, and they opted to keep him up, but he just, the grind of an NHL season is really hard sometimes for a kid coming out of junior, because they're totally different schedules. In junior, you play the occasional Wednesday night, and you'll play maybe a couple of weekend games, and then you're off the rest of the week. You know, kind of like the AHL, which is why, you know, but the AHL, you travel more. So, it's a tough transition to make, and to give up on a kid that early is just, to me, I can't even describe it on this show because I just can't find a word to use that's family friendly. Eric Goodbranson is a decent defenseman. Look, Florida's, you know, he kind of got shifted down the lineup because of Aaron Ekblad, who's going to need a deal soon. So I understand why they move Goodbranson. Goodbranson is also a top, you know, was a top pick. He's not, to me, he's a middle six defenseman. You know, he kind of plays in the middle pair defenseman. Sorry. Yeah, he's a middle pair defenseman. He's not a bad defenseman, but it's just that when you consider you just sent away a first round pick, a guy who's three picks away from being a first round pick, and the higher, you know, off pick of the fourth round pick, and you're getting back a defenseman who's, you know, NHL defensemen do come at a premium, and I understand that. But to get that in a fifth round pick, like not a higher pick, I just feel like they got robbed, and I feel bad for Vancouver fans. I don't know what, you know, if they should riot for any other reason. This is a good reason, guys. You have my blessing.
No, they like to riot over there.
Only when they lose the Stanley Cup Finals. It only happens once every, you know, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. There you go.
I think this is actually, this could be riot prevention. They just, maybe they want to make sure the team is as awful.
Yeah, they don't
want
to get up
That's
to the
right.
Stanley
if
Cup again.
If you don't make the Stanley Cups, they won't riot. So maybe this is just riot prevention.
Wow.
All right, I'm done.
Nice. Our last bit of news. The NHL works even harder to remain the fourth most watched sport in America, and make sure we're not gaining any ground. The NHL shut down the Tampa Bay watch party. It's stupid. They apparently they were missing ratings, so therefore they shut down any watch parties for the games. This is the NHL being absolute morons.
So now they didn't
Thank
understand.
You.
Like, all of a sudden, there's going to be Tupperware parties that crop up. Tupperware.
These are dumb. This is a dumb thing to do. I'm just going to chime in here quick on this. I won't go as long as I do on some of the other things we've talked about. But to me, like, it's...
That's a first.
This, for one, I know this is going to sound obnoxious, and you'll have to forgive me, but let me finish. This would never happen to a Canadian team.
Yeah, but
No, it wouldn't. You know why? Because even if they tried to do it, a Canadian team would be like, okay, what's the fine? Cool. You know what? The watch party will probably make half of that, you know, or we'll make double that.
Right.
We'll pay the fine and we'll still pocket money. If I was one of these teams, I would tell NBC to go F themselves and I would do it anyway. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You want to watch. I understand ratings are important and ad space is important, but you know what? Don't do this. If you can get people to go to one place and just really, especially in markets like Tampa Bay or, you know, like people like Pittsburgh, it's easy to get people together. Markets like Tampa Bay, this is where you want people to go. You want people in Tampa Bay to realize this is a big deal.
Yeah.
You want them to stop watching the Rays for 10 minutes, you know, playing early season games that don't matter for anything, and pay attention to hockey. And this is good. It's good publicity. It's good just fan building. And the NHL just, you know,
is doing the opposite.
Yeah, they just, they
screw you, fans.
It's just greed for the sake of greed, and it's stupid.
Yeah, I have nothing to say because family friendly show. This is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it was just stupid. It, like you said, I think the biggest thing, and I actually have two parts to this answer was, you know, like Ian was saying, actually it's huge with the Sharks is that we have, everyone's still talking about the San Francisco Giants, and I know they love the San Francisco Giants out here. I personally care less about the San Francisco Giants, but that's a different story. It's April, it's May, you know, let's take a look at to see what the Sharks are doing right here. The baseball games don't matter, and you're talking about possibly getting fans to go to the arena to kind of, you know, celebrate their team doing so well. And the other thing that just made no sense to me is, I mean, really, how much of a rating difference are we even looking at if we shut down the watch party and make them go watch their homes? I mean, is it really even that big of a difference?
3,000 people.
It's the overall rating is not going to change by, like, what, 0.0001?
Yep, no, I completely agree. And just to add something just that I've learned, I guess apparently for the next round, each team is allowed to have one watch party. Thank you.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Sorry, you have another point there, Tyler. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no,
kiss
no, no.
My hairless white butt.
You get another point because of the whole we get one watch party. Yeah, no kidding.
Everyone gets one.
But here's the thing with that is the watch parties, they were doing it the whole playoff. So all of a sudden, we just, game seven, okay, we're going to go ahead and say, no, you can't do that anymore, even though we've been doing it every round before then?
Yep. They said so.
I blame
are
Jeremy
they really, are ratings, because there's no Canadian they team in the playoff, are ratings that bad that they're doing
surprisingly,
this?
They're not. Actually, it's good. I'm glad you asked that, because I was listening to something today about that, and they were saying that, you know, for all the doom and gloom about, oh, the ratings would be awful in Canada, like, even with the Raptors making a deep run, like, yeah, obviously that's a big deal in Toronto, but for the rest of Canada, the ratings for the hockey games have still been better than the Raptors games.
Well, because it's hockey.
Well, exactly. And obviously no one cares about the Jays yet. Like, the Jays obviously weren't going to have a prayer of out-rating, you know, even if they were good, they wouldn't outdo NHL on TV. Mm-mm. It's not going to happen. So,
well,
it hasn't been the disaster that was predicted, to answer your question. No, it hasn't been.
The only thing that's going to outrate the NHL at this point is Tragically Hip's concert footage.
Oh, jeez.
It's true.
Here's a little bit of a conflict realized. This Game 3 is scheduled in San Jose for the Stanley Cup Finals. There's also a concert scheduled at the SAP Center that same day.
It's already been moved.
Who's they the have moved it? Okay.
Andrea Bocelli.
They'll probably just move it.
The singer? It's a singer. It's
an Italian opera singer.
So they have moved the concert then.
Oh, yeah.
Great singer, actually, though.
Yeah, they will probably, look at the Sharks are the primary tenant of the arena, they will probably make it work.
I'm sure they will.
Primary tenant. They're gonna, it's the Stanley Cup Finals where Hasso's, you know, gonna be there.
That's a lot of money.
His money bank so he can throw it into his Scrooge McDuck money bin.
Swim around in it.
How fast did it sell out?
The tickets
like
sold
minutes.
In minutes.
No one's been able to get tickets. It's been amazing.
I cannot believe that. I got to
I
sit
got
in empty all season.
I was smart and got my tickets 4 days ago when these season ticket holders were already selling them on StubHub.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Right. Well, you know what? That's about time. Let's call it a night. Let's start with you. Let's start with you, Mr. Spence. Why don't you tell us everything that you want people to know about you, how they find you, and What's your favorite rock song right now?
Favorite rock song? Okay.
This is what happens, man. He just asks random stuff at the end of the show.
It's true.
I throw this off. Yeah.
Well, right now I'm out in Sacramento. became a Sharks fan in the late 90s, listening to Dan Ruskinowski on the radio, because I remember coming home as a kid and Sharks games would always be on the radio, and that's how I actually learned into hockey and got to know the game because of the radio broadcast out there. So then eventually moved down to Sacramento, went to support some hockey games in the early 2000s, and basically been a fan ever since. And then I write for RSN Report, so that was what Ian was talking about earlier at the start of the podcast, where he wrote for us for a little bit at rsnreport.com. and if you ever want to read any of my articles, you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Tyler Spence RSEN. And I think my favorite rock song, I mean, I guess since they've been playing it at the arena after wins, would be the one that goes, "I wanna rock and roll all night." I'll go with that one.
Outstanding. Okay. Ian, why don't you tell us everything you want to tell us about what you want to tell us? And are you team Captain America or are you team Iron Man?
Oh, you know what? Every time I try to go see this movie, I can't.
It's terrible. Don't see it.
I'm going to see it. I'm bad. Team Cap, of course. Come on. Even if they make him a Nazi now.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
Spoiler alert.
Hey, I am, what was I going to say? Oh, hey, I'm Ian Reed. You can find my work at Pucknology. A lot of stuff going on at Pucknology, obviously, with the Stanley Cup Finals being a thing. There's going to be just a whole crap ton of stuff happening. This podcast is kind of going to lead the charge into the coverage of the finals. So be sure to, you know, keep your eyes on everything going on at Pucknology right now. It's going to be fantastic. As for this show, we have to figure out schedules and stuff because of the both games falling on Wednesdays, if necessary. So we will let you know as soon as we know what we're going to do about that. Other than that, go to Pucknology, follow me on Twitter at iReadPucknology, and that's it.
Okay. Rocket, tell us what you want to tell us, and if you have to change the color of your windscreen on your microphone, what color will the next one be?
Oh, gosh. Okay, my name is Rocket Backhander. Hi. You can find me on Twitter.
Hi.
You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at capital R, capital B, lowercase Ackhander 76. I post up repostings about hockey stuff, hockey jokes, people who are dumb at hockey, you know, hockey. And
I'm not naming any names.
I can't. They block me. So then if you don't follow me on Twitter, you are more than welcome to head over to Instagram and check out the Teal Tinted Glasses Instagram photography feed. That's Teal Tinted Glasses, one word. Lots of game photographs and pictures of beer at O'Flats, all sorts of great teal items on Instagram, Teal Tinted Glasses. And if I had to change the windscreen, it would be clear. With teal glitter.
Clear. That's interesting. Ooh, I like it. Okay, and I'm Wendell, and I produce your show, and I hope you enjoy it, and I edit stuff, and I forget to edit stuff, which is why I left stuff in that I probably shouldn't have left in today, because that's just par for the course. Check out our Facebook, The Teal Tinted Glasses. If you're not there, you should be. We're pretty nice in there. You can ask your questions in there. That's the best place to do it. Or you can go to Twitter, at TTG Podcast. And, you can get a hold of me, at Comic Not Geek. I talk about comics and comedy and being mad at my HOA a lot. So that's about it. So until next week, Mom, put down my bass. That's my bass. You get your own. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Teal Tinted Glasses Hockey Podcast. You can reach us by email at tealtintedglasses@gmail.com. Through Twitter at TTG Podcast, or you're welcome to go to our website at www.tealtintedglasses.com. We would love to hear from you.